Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Meow.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
Not ska.
That's no ska Friday. That's Eddie Van Halen Friday, baby. The real Eddie Van Halen with guitars and not them dumb keyboards. Well, don't get me started about Van Hagar, buddy.
You're fired up.
I am fired up. I'm Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro, and I'm crazy. I'm stir crazy. I'm like, it's been too much this week. I've been doing too many things, and I'm glad my friend Danny Klinkscale is here to make this thing
get normal. Sounds like you're a couple hours or maybe from a cold, refreshing beverage that might wrap up your week.
Lead me to fall asleep at 8:30 tonight, probably. It's all good. That's all good. How are you doing, Danny Klinkscale?
Doing all right. I'm in the sort of the midst of my birthday weekend, so which has mixed blessings when you reach a certain age.
What age are you, Danny?
That's say that only my hairdresser knows for sure.
They say never ask a lady your age.
Exactly.
So this is where we are with
that's
Danny.
That's right where we are, yeah.
You're over 60.
I am, so that's good enough. Yeah. Once you get over there, you don't really need to talk about
it. Been over 60 for a while. Been over 60 for a while.
Thanks to Frank Bohl, I will continue to be the not the oldest person who appears on this radio station.
And Pete. Pete is here. Yeah, Pete's got
Pete's,
you.
Pete's got me. They've both got me easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, by a decade.
Yeah. So.
Well, now Curtis is giving hints.
Anyway.
By at least a decade.
Last night, my daughter and her fiancé took me out to dinner. My wife and I, we went to
Your
Yaya's.
Actual birthday is?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the 6th.
Yeah. But yeah. I will be doing a charity softball game on TV, streaming TV, in 100-degree heat. I'm very excited.
That sounds good.
It's not like a way to enjoy your birthday. So it's the Boys and Girls Club of Lawrence.
Did you have
charity softball game?
Did you go to Yaya's and get some a little bit of lettuce and some seeds or something? Did you have an actual meal?
I got a nice had a good appetizer. I got it was shrimp and scallops and
seafood
and cheese.
Strong.
Cheese melted all over it.
Oh yeah, treating yourself.
So it's
you
cool.
Like the
on
big
Thursdays,
scallops or the little ski? You don't like the sea scallops?
I like the big ones.
I
this
do
was
too.
This was an appetizer, okay. So it was little ones.
Little ones, they're fine.
It came like in a like this plasticish thing, and it had like six holes in it,
mm-hmm.
And they put shrimp and scallops in the little things, and then they melted cheese all.
Oh, that
top.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Yeah,
that sounds good. Well, happy birthday early, Danny.
You know, on Thursdays, they have Atlantic Express out there playing some Motown mm-hmm. and stuff.
Did you dance?
Cool.
Did not dance. We thought about it, but we figured save that up for maybe inside when it's a little cooler.
Yeah. Cool down for some indoor ballroom
nice
dancing.
People set up their lunch. They have some dinner, and then they set up some lawn chairs there. It was fun. It's fun.
That's nice.
So that was
happy
good.
Birthday.
And then she and her fiance are coming over on Sunday for a little grilling. So
you're going
to
grill
the older daughter in there. Yeah,
you're going to grill it up.
I'm the grill master. Yes. Yeah.
I can confirm.
Yes.
What are you going to grill?
Can throw some good veggies down.
Probably for sure some veggies. Likely some salmon.
Have I told
maybe
you
some
my
chicken.
Here's my trick on the veggies. I've told Petro this. You go get yourself some Oklahoma Joe's. Joe's KC now. Fry seasoning. They sell it. Okay?
Okay.
Use that for your light dusting on your veggies.
Hmm.
A little bit of oil of your choice. We use avocado oil. It's got a little flavor at home. Not too much because you don't make it too mm-hmm. heavy. And a little light dusting of the Joe's KC fry seasoning.
I might try that.
Because everybody loves Oklahoma Joe's KC
the
fries.
Food. I am the I am
You're the cook,
I'm
actually.
I'm the cook.
But
yes.
you
have a sous chef
the,
at home.
You use the Tony Chicheri's.
Yeah, I use the Tony's.
On the veg?
Yeah.
I'm telling you to try the Joe's fry seasoning.
Actually, I did prepare the food the last time Curtis was over. Yeah.
Because I've had some Joe's fry seasoning for a while because we used to put it on like roasted potatoes or something. It's obviously great, but it is.
Yes,
it makes you think you're eating Joe's fries when you're having, you know, zucchini or something. It's good.
Maybe that's not right in my wheelhouse. When I eat vegetables, I kind of like to feel like I'm eating vegetables.
Well, no, they're still vegetables, but it's got that
does it make
sense
them crunchy?
No, it's just a flavor because
that would be all right.
It's just a dusting of it. It's just like that's what they put on the fries when they after they bring them out of the fryer. But it's you can buy it at
store. It's great.
It's a great all-purpose seasoning. Yeah, you can put it on wonderful. Literally anything.
You can put it on beef, chicken, you know, scallops, whatever you need.
This time of year, you are kind of hit and miss when it comes to the temperature of an outdoor event you've got scheduled.
Sure, yes.
About 3 weeks ago, I did a charity softball game for my good friend Ryan. And the previous Saturday, it was 96. The Saturday after that, it was 100. That Saturday, 82 and cloudy.
Got it.
Wow. And not humid. It could not have been more perfect.
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting that tomorrow.
July 16th, that's pretty good.
Nate's playing in this thing, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's just the wiffle ball deal?
It's softball.
Softball.
It is softball.
Okay, cool. Yep. That'll be fun. Danny, I haven't talked to you much about this, but I'm going to take the opportunity now. The Chiefs are off today,
right,
and the Royals are in last place. We'll talk about those things as we go. And we haven't talked about the golf situation. Now, we got a lawsuit going now.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of sides of this. I'll tell you what I think first. I think go earn whatever you want, however you want. It's fine, okay? And I think we probably don't want to look into the business dealings of every company who sponsors anything that happens, because you're not going to be entirely happy when you do, okay?
Right.
So I don't get into this, you know, the atrocities of the Saudi government about this golf thing, because our government, who they're in bed with the Saudi government, okay? So I'm not, I can't get upset about that.
To your point, eventually the PGA Tour has a lot of
yes
with Saudi Arabia too,
and so. they and companies who do dealings everywhere in the world, and banks who probably charge too many
and
finance charges to people who can't afford them, and it's
many
awful
of the
things.
Sponsors of the tournaments on the PGA Tour have significant dealings with Saudi Arabia.
Exactly.
I think we're probably going to be in somewhat lockstep on this, Todd, but lay your feelings
so
out.
Here's my question. How long can they run? I mean, I guess the answer is indefinitely, because they have billions and trillions of dollars, but they're not going to, at this rate, get return on their investment as a tour if they don't have anyone sponsoring it. I mean, their purses are so huge right now. They're losing money. They have to be losing money.
Well, they're losing astonishing amounts of money. They have no TV contract. They have no sponsors. They are just doling out money. And I don't think that, you know, in multiple platforms I've talked about this. I'm with you in the fact that my focus is not on the Saudi part of it. I think, yes, I mean, they're a despicable organization. I mean, government in all kinds of ways. The fact that the LPGA Tour actually has some dealings with the Saudis, mm-hmm, is unbelievably reprehensible, and given the fact that their record with women. But you really have to kind of set that aside, because there's so many people who are involved in financial dealings with the Saudis. So that's almost beside the point. I mean, they're Newcastle now in the Premier League has Saudi-backed ownership. Much to the billions of dollars, and their fans at first, like, ooh.
We don't like this. Well, then, hey, who'd you bring in?
Yeah,
sure.
We're going to be better. So that, I think, was a big talking point early on, and certainly when they're generally in the New York area or whatever, the 9/11 families have protested, and I understand that completely. But my focus is more on the sports aspect of it, and the fact that there's no competition. There's no real legitimate competition there yet. They have failed so far to create a viable product.
It's still early, though, right? I guess
sure.
This is a leap of faith. When the AFL first started, it didn't look all that good in 1960
or
whatever.
And the AFL is probably anyone's poster child, because it's just about the only rival
that worked
league that has ever worked. Now, to some small degree, the ABA worked because they incorporated some teams in, mm-hmm, there. The WHA in hockey worked a little bit because a few teams were incorporated into the NHL. But most head-to-head situations like this have failed. And I think that one of the things that makes golf appealing to its fan base is that it is a little bit different than other sports. It's a meritocracy. The better you play, the more money you make. And if you don't play very well, it's kind of like soccer in that regard. If you don't play very well, you're out. You don't have the right to play.
You're relegated on Thursday after Friday afternoon.
But at the end of the year, you're going to be relegated to the Corn Ferry Tour or whatever.
Worse.
So, and 48 players for 54 holes with a shotgun start is not viable competition, especially when, I mean, Henrik Stenson won the tournament last week.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't had a top 10 finish on the PGA Tour in 3 years.
And he got $4 million.
Now, the PGA Tour this week announced their schedule for next year. If you want to stay in the PGA Tour, you're going to be fine. Your money's just not guaranteed. They have 8 tournaments next year that have purses of at least $20 million, which is pretty close to what the LIV golf tournaments. They're getting close, and some of them are the same as, and LIV's up to 14 tournaments. But say, compare it this year. LIV had 8 tournaments. They were in the upper 20s as far as their purses were concerned. PGA Tour is going to have every bit that many next year.
It's easier money at this point on the LIV Tour because there's not very many good players.
And also you get money just to sign up.
Right. That's the part. Now, is there any indication that they've said this, whatever Greg Norman and his people have said, this is better work by this point, or, I mean, they're just not going to go on indefinitely just pouring money out, are they?
I wouldn't think so, because they're involved in other enterprises, and they have, you know, this Saudi fund, however they put it, it's a Saudi investment fund. They don't say it's the Saudi government, but it's Saudi-backed, Saudi government-backed. And they're involved in other things that, you know, that make money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgetting now off the top of my head because it's been a couple months since they started. But they're, I think they, you know, maybe Grubhub or something.
Something,
some big enterprises here. And so they've invested in things where they expect a return. One of the returns I think that most people focused on was that they were calling it sports washing, that they wanted this to sort of distract from, you know, this was a Saudi-backed league, but look, hey, it's great sports entertainment, mm-hmm. and it takes away from the focus being on their human rights abuses. Well, I don't think that's worked either. I don't think anybody's saying, well, look at that. That's a fun golf league. Hey, those Saudis are kind of nice.
Right.
Nobody's saying that. So I think that part's failed. And then if they're giving all this money and I think their design by now maybe was to have, say, 20 to 25 of the top 50 or 60 players in the world. They don't. They have about 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. For instance, this week, the 11 players sued for an antitrust suit, and 3 of them are looking for a temporary injunction to play in the playoffs because those are the only 3 who've qualified for the playoffs. And that's the top 125. Now, their points were suspended a couple months ago, but there's only 3 guys, and I'm sure everybody out there knows who Taylor Gooch and Hudson Swafford, and who's the other one? Oh, Matt Jones.
Right.
Those are the 3 players, okay?
So a question for you, because you're our golf guy.
Those are made-up names.
No, I've heard of Taylor Gooch. Okay, but the guys, when you look down
He's
the 48
Oklahoma.
Guys on the LIV Tour, do you know all those guys?
Even I do not know all of them, and that's only 48, and I follow golf more closely. The first tournament, I know this at the top of my head because I did it in various podcasts. The bottom 5 in the first tournament, only one of them I'd ever heard of.
Right.
And there's probably nobody who follows golf or that is listening right now as close
so
as
this
I
isn't
am.
The best of best, but I get them signing up. I got a chance to go make $128,000 by shooting 14 over. Sign me up, right?
Well, also, I completely understand the players in their 40s who are signing up for this. Just say the best person so far, if you don't like LIV and you want to, feel a little better about who's doing it, et cetera, is Pat Perez. He's 47. He's been a good PGA Tour player. I think he's got 4 wins maybe. He's played over 500 tournaments on the PGA. And he just flat said, I'm 47 years old. I played on the tour forever. This is a good way for me to get an easy payday. I'll play less golf. And he was just open about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't this good of the game. And the biggest sham that's being trot out consistently is, I want to play less. I want to be with my family more. Well, now they're suing to get back on the PGA Tour.
Right.
LIV Golf has 14 tournaments next year. To play on the PGA Tour, you have to play 15. So that's 29, which is more than just about any player on the PGA Tour plays in a season.
Right.
So that's complete baloney. So that's the part that it's the hypocrisy on that side, the lack of true competition, and the fact that I think that, you know, the PGA Tour has, there's major issues that I can quibble with. I don't understand how they're a nonprofit organization, but whatever.
Yeah.
But still, it's a structure that's been good. And all these players made their names and their fortunes on the PGA Tour.
By being oppressed on the PGA Tour.
And otherwise, nobody would have cared to sign them.
I've got a question for you about, this is something I think the PGA Tour could do and should do, and this would be cheaper than, you know, what they don't need to do is look at the top prize. They need to look at the guys who get cut. Because if you're someone, we had these guys come through the Corn Ferry Tour, these kids who were from Kansas who came through, we did some interviews with them, and they're out there playing in the Latin American Tour. They're down there in like Ecuador trying to fight for purses of nothing, and you come to the Corn Ferry. I love the Corn Ferry Tour. It's great. But they're out there fighting to get their chance to get to the PGA Tour.
Right.
If you make the PGA Tour, this is the way I feel a little bit about like minimums in Major League Baseball and NFL and all that stuff too. If you're one of the top 150 golfers in the whole freaking world, you shouldn't lose money going to a tournament. And if you go to a tournament and you don't make the cut and you pay your caddy and you pay for 6 days of hotel and your travel to get there, however you do, they're not all flying jets, okay? They're not all on running around on Phil's plane, you know, doing his bit. It takes a while to go. Yeah. Should they make it at least a break-even thing if you miss the cut? I know the old school thing is you don't get paid if you don't make the cut. Some tournaments you do get like $10,000 or something.
And the majors usually get some kind of an honorarium. I think they would be well served to do that. You don't have to just make it a flat fee. It doesn't need, you know, 65 and ties make the cut. So everybody gets the same thing. You know, if you finish 71st, it's no better than if you finished 150.
Right, just $10,000 to be at the
or
tournament.
I've heard them say if you get your tour card, you get $200,000.
That,
you know,
same thing.
To start the year. Yeah, you know, there you go. There's your $200,000. Do with it what you will, and then you make more after that. To me, that would almost be a better way to do it, because then you would say that they would still have the situation where you miss the cut, you don't get paid.
Because if you go out there and you have a bad couple of months at the start of the year and you're not an established player on tour, you can be in a big hole, and then all of a sudden, God, I got to make this one. I got it. You know, you just don't – you can't
do it.
You
have to keep on playing. If you are qualified for that, I mean, there's a play. Today's the last. I mean, this weekend is the last regular tournament before the playoffs on the PGA Tour. I'm sure everybody out there is saying this. Danny knows way far too much.
This
about
is why
golf.
Danny's here, being unleashed.
It's the last tournament, and there's one player who's one of the. He's right on the bubble. He's a bubble boy, and it looks like he's going to make it. His name is Brian Stewart, and you know, 2 months ago he was like probably. Then he misses 11 cuts, and he's missed 11 cuts in a row. So he hasn't made a dime
in
3 months. And now he's playing well this weekend. He's probably going to make it, keep his card, whatever. So that's nice. But, you know, that's what happens in golf. I was watching the European Tour tournament this morning.
Of course he was.
And there is a guy who's a Hadrian Porteous, his name is, and he's an English golfer, and he's won 3 times on the European Tour, and he's missed 14 cuts in a row. Now he's going to make the cut this week. You know, that's even good players go through this. Ricky Fowler looks like he's going to not make the playoffs. Now he's got a 10-year exemption for winning the Players' Championship.
Right.
So he's exempt. He's not going to lose his job. But still, how that, you know, mighty have fallen. I mean, Ricky Fowler, he is
it's
not even going to be in
game.
The top 125.
Yeah, it's a fickle game. And they I just think it shouldn't be a money-losing affair to be a professional golfer on the PGA Tour. And I think they could do themselves a lot of good by saying, you're in the field. You're not going to lose money this week. Maybe it's $10,000. Or I like the idea of here you got $200,000 to start, whatever, because they don't all have 17 sponsors that can pay for all of the stuff. And you go make the field of a tournament, you get cut. Caddy still gets paid.
Yes, he does.
And so you flat out lose money.
Oh yeah, you absolutely lose money. Now, the good news now on the PGA Tour is that if you do keep your job and finish in the top 125, and you know that's not easy, but still, if you're the 125th best player, it's usually about $1 million. You made about $1 million.
Right.
So even if you spend 200 during the course of the year, which you could,
sure, I would say absolutely,
that might be 200.
And they're going to tax you.
Still making, you know, you're still going to be a nice, that's a nice yeah. return. But you are one of the top 125 golfers in the world, handful of others who probably don't play the tour, but for the sake of argument, I mean, there's 800 Major League Baseball players. There's how many NFL players? About this, more than that.
Yeah.
Well over 1,000 NFL players.
But it is a business, and how much money does the PGA Tour get to come in? That's one of the things. Let's take a break before we get too far, because I want to fold this into another conversation maybe as well. And we're going to definitely talk about what's going on with the Chiefs
absolutely.
And the Royals as well with Danny Klingscale, brought to you by Easton Roofing right here on a Program Friday.
All right, born on this date, almost sharing a birthday with Daniel Robert Klingscale. The last first-round pick of the Kansas City Kings.
Otis Thorpe.
I know this. Yeah, I knew it too, Otis Thorpe.
Ninth overall pick in 1984 out of Providence.
Providence.
You know whose birthday it is today also?
Who's that?
I'm looking at quite
Marcia,
a few.
Marcia.
Oh, is it really?
It's Maureen McCormick's birthday.
Good for her.
I know that because it's next to mine, and she's a similar age to me.
Who's the most famous person born that you share a birth date with?
You know, I'll have to look tomorrow. I don't remember off the top of my head. I do remember some birthdays you wouldn't think of, like just because you're a sports fan and you're a kid, whatever. Mm-hmm. August 22nd is coming up. That's Karl Yastrzemski's birthday.
Ah, there you go.
I remember it. He was my favorite ball player when I was like 5.
Until you grew out of your Red Sox?
Yeah, until I absolutely grew out of that.
If you guys want to have a laugh, I share a birthday with Steve Bono.
There you go.
Nice.
Bono.
Nice.
I share a birthday with a president, John Quincy Adams.
JQA. It's a good one.
It's not that great.
Yeah.
Ain't bad.
It's always good to share a birthday with a president from way long ago because nobody has an opinion on him.
Oh, I never, never liked John Quincy.
I share
second,
a birthday with president within the last 20 years. Everyone will jump on you with their opinions on him.
Andy Warhol, Lucille Ball for Danny here. Not bad. Oh, wow.
That's pretty good. Mine's not much. My daughter looked this
Robert
up. I
Mitchell.
Just looked it again here. Harry Styles. He's a huge star.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Well, that's a huge star.
Yeah. Ronda Rousey. Big boy from Outkast. Huh?
Wow.
I'm doing all right.
I'll take the Andy Warhol.
Then there's several people on this list.
Not a fan of Lucille Ball at all.
How about Pauly Shore? The Weasel. See, that's my star.
Somebody cool. Check my birthday.
I'm gonna ask you another thing that's going on
before people. Yeah, it's me over the head.
Let's get it into first off, we're gonna give away a pair of tickets to the 100-year anniversary. Caller number 8 right now. Tickets to the 100-year anniversary party next Thursday at the Midland. That's number 1. Number 2, I want to talk WNBA. Okay?
I doubt that.
I do. This Brittany Griner thing I think is interesting. Okay? She's in jail. She got her 9-year sentence.
Horrendous, yes.
And my wife, it was interesting last night. She was, why is she in Russia? And my wife has no sympathy with the fact that she went to Russia and broke the rules of the country. And I got to say, you should follow the rules of where you're going to go. Because as crappy as this place is, you're probably not going to get 9 years because you got a vape pen at the airport. Whatever. Russia's Russia, okay?
Right.
And I said the reason they go over there is because they don't make crazy amounts of money here. But that's the point. The WNBA is not run by, you know, the Saudi, you know, royal
back
family
fun,
with billions of dollars. It is a business. And they have a salary cap of like $1.3 million for their entire team. And at that point, I think they're probably still losing money as a league. So that's the point to keep going on this thing is it'd be great. Sure, pay everyone in the WNBA $1 million a year, but you can't because then they would be gone.
Right, and unless the Saudi investment fund is interested in, for instance, LIV Golf says they're going to do women's golf.
Mm-hmm.
I, for the life of me, I don't really understand that for them, but I mean, I think... I, fully admire women's golf and their play, and but it's not been a great business model so far.
The product, I mean, you need
the product is wonderful.
The way sports on TV work is people have to watch it, and that's where the money comes from, and the ad dollars,
right.
And that's why the salary cap in the NFL is 100 and whatever billion or million dollars, and you can pay. And there are these baseball owners, some of them can't help themselves. There are teams that actually lose money because they spend too much money and they don't have enough money come in, and it does happen. It doesn't happen a lot. The franchises are still worth money and all that, but there are some years where...
Well, year to year, I'm sure even some of the biggest teams will technically lose money. Now, they're, as you say, the franchises are worth so much, and they don't really care. I think that some of the top soccer teams in the world, as much
absolutely.
Money as they make...
Barcelona is bankrupt.
Right.
Because they gave Messi all this money.
Right.
For all these years. And they had 100,000 people come to games, but it was just too much money.
And they also... probably did some extremely stupid things business-wise. And I'll say it again. You've been to Spain. I've been to Barcelona. Lionel Messi is the most underpaid athlete. It's like when they say Tiger Woods was underpaid or Patrick Mahomes is likely underpaid for what they bring to the organization and the community and everything else. I mean, you couldn't look over your shoulder to the left without seeing another Messi jersey. I mean,
right.
Barcelona, it was unbelievable.
Didn't came out of bankruptcy, though.
No, it did not.
So, that's the point. You can't just give people money if it doesn't come back in. And the WNBA is running a business to where they're trying to grow it, and it takes a while sometimes.
Well, sometimes we'll see, because in the case of LIV Golf, and we should move on to the Chiefs or the Royals or something else, but in the case of LIV Golf, this is more of a sort of a long-term deal for them. But these people who are involved with this, it's an ego thing. They're used to winning. They're used to being successes. And they weren't counting on the fact that the very best players in the world have decided, at least for the time being, that they like the pure competition and ability to play against the best and ensure that they're going to play in the majors. That may change, and everybody may be able to play in them, but they know that. They're treated well on the PGA Tour. It's more... They didn't grow up thinking about playing in a 54-hole tournament against 12 guys who were good in a shotgun start.
Right.
They dreamed of playing against the very best players in the world for 72 holes and all that. So
yeah,
until they get... And they may. We'll see what happens when this is the start of the playoffs. PGA Tour season will be over in a month. There may be plenty of guys at that point who will
say out.
We'll see what we're doing, looking in court.
But
by
then
the time the Masters rolls,
are they going to expand these fields at LIV?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. And like, it reminds me, like USFL in the early 80s, they're going to compete with the NFL. And I think there are still plenty of players who said, I didn't even get my money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they just didn't have enough money to pay him, because we're going to give you this great big contract.
They signed bigger contracts,
yeah.
Bigger contracts than the NFL.
But in the end, it was a business, and people weren't watching. And
even Donald Trump's
somehow
team
didn't make
failed.
Money on it. I don't know how.
Wrong.
All right, so let's talk a little. Let's do a little bit of baseball first.
Okay. By the way, yes, let me get this unleashed off my chest. The power of the player in Major League Baseball has never been more personified by Whit Merrifield recently. Because, okay, he came out yesterday and said, I'm vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, this freaking general manager of the Blue Jays was saying, well, we're not going to require that, you know, has to be vaccinated. First of all, I think he was just flat lying. If he didn't talk to Whit Merrifield.
And he's a horrible businessman.
Before
yeah.
the trade was made.
Or his agent,
he should have been
whatever.
Fired.
Yeah.
Fired on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
You made a trade for somebody that's going to be like Kyrie Irving, you know, and play either in the
yeah.
United States or in Canada. That's it? I don't believe that happened. And Merrifield, it sounds like from his quotes, he got vaccinated like...
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, he tried to be cute last night and not tell the reporter when he got vaccinated. I'll be there in Toronto.
Yeah, they're going to be in the Toronto on the 12th. So that means he saw the writing on the wall,
right.
Or the Royals. Someone, listen, we're probably
gonna,
shopping you. Your life is your life, but if you want to play baseball, pretty good chance you best do this, and it'll be to a competitive team or whatever.
And a team, right, a team that even if they don't play the Blue Jays the rest of the season, you're hoping they're playing them in the postseason.
Right.
Okay, you're going to a contending team. I mean, it was, unfortunately for Whit Merrifield, who should have, in general, a nice legacy as a Kansas City Royal, he just doubled down on being a jackass over the last 24 hours. But the general manager let him do it. He didn't let him do it. I don't believe that he didn't know that Whit Merrifield was and or was
then
going
JJ Piccolo
to,
just kind of shut down the conversation on the Zoom the other night because he's like, he's not our player.
He wouldn't say it. He had to say, well, we're going to let him and his family decide. What a bunch of crap. Absolute crap. But anyway.
Yeah, if you trade for someone who you don't know is going to play for you, then that's dumb. And I think they knew.
I think they probably couldn't call the player
because of the rules and stuff like that. But you got to have someone reach out to someone who reaches out to someone and says, what's the deal? Yeah, man, I did this, and now I'm good to go.
And there's no reason not to say it.
Right. But not at all. They just walk around on eggshells. Acting like, well, we'll let the player decide this. And he looks like an idiot. He looks like an idiot anyway. I believe he knew he was going to be vaccinated or was vaccinated. But he wouldn't say it for whatever reason. I don't get it.
Do you think the Royals on the field did the right thing? And even off the field, leadership-wise, you think they did the right thing by getting Whit Merrifield? You think he had served his purpose here in Kansas City?
I mean, there's some evidence that he was going to be a declining player.
Four straight years of getting worse?
He's in his mid-30s. I don't think you can ignore what he said, but I think they maybe would have traded him anyway. I think they got a reasonable return for him. I mean, the only thing it really highlights is the fact that they should have traded him a couple of years ago.
Right.
When they probably really could have got some good stuff for him.
But they keep thinking...
They keep thinking this is the year that we're going, and he's still a good ball player for us, and so on and so forth. The Whit Merrifield saga is a pretty weird one, because the Royals ended up getting several years of service of a fine baseball play from a guy that they never wanted.
Right.
That they treated like dirt, basically. Even the first couple, 3 years, he was a major leaguer. They wouldn't give him a contract.
Oh, he didn't make the opening day roster till 18.
Right, and they left him out in the Rule 5 draft, and nobody took him. I mean, the whole thing is amazing.
It's almost like he did something in early in his life to someone, and they're like, my life's goal is to.
Right. Well, it never made sense to me.
Every grinder possible.
It never made sense to me, and I don't think it did to you either, Danny. But, like, he just seemed like he should be someone who the Royals loved and that Ned loved and that, like, a grinder and a red ass and all that stuff.
Right.
And it just, I don't know why.
No. And then they have had an absolute love affair with a spoiled brat shortstop who never plays.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, because he was everything. Moustakas and Hosmer and Gordon, he was everything from a attitude and approach to the game standpoint that those guys were. He would have fit in perfectly with that crew.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like he was given no chance at all to join them. That is interesting.
Yeah.
It's almost like they had clearly not valued him, so it's almost like they didn't want him to succeed because it was going to show that they were wrong.
Didn't know what they were doing. Right. Yeah, it's an odd one. We'll see. What did you think about Eric Hosmer putting the kibosh on the big trade and then ended up in Boston?
I think it was good for him. Boston will have their occasional, down year, and this likely is one of them, although they're just a handful of games out of the wild card now. But the Nationals look like they're in for a long slog there. So I think I would have exercised my no trade clause in that case, too. So I think it was good for him.
Yeah, it is what it is. And the Padres at that point were like, he's still on the hook.
He's seen both sides of it because here's a guy who comes back to – I didn't remember he'd never been back. I thought maybe he'd been back once. But here's a guy who comes back and got a good response.
Good response.
I wouldn't say it was like out of this world.
Well, there's not that many people out there to respond.
Yeah, it wasn't what Lorenzo Cain got when he came back.
Right, but it was sooner or whatever. And he gets the the ability to feel like he's totally embraced by one fan base, and the Padres fans, they just wanted him the hell out of it.
Right. I mean, and it's because he, like, he's still, his contract actually gets cheaper.
Right.
The way it was done. So it's like only $13 million a year, but he ain't opting out of that. Because what's he worth now? I don't know what he's worth.
Yeah.
He's not going to go sign some deal. So I think he's got 3 years after this at $13 million a year. It's about $40 million coming. But it's like Ian Kennedy used to like chuckle when someone, are you going to opt out? Are you kidding me? I'm making $16 million here. Exactly. Nobody wants me for that. No way I'm opting out. So I don't think Hosmer's opting out. He's going to be in Boston for a bit and see what happens.
It should be a good place for him. And I guess there was sort of nothing that was more like Hosmer's career as a hitter than it looked like he was going to hit a home run. He almost hit a home run. I mean, off the bat, I'm like, oh, that's gone. That's a pretty cool story. And then it was like, no, it's not.
Seen that one before.
Well, before the break, one of the things you and I connect, obviously, on a lot of different topics, but it's not just sports history, music, but I know you are a big fan of the history of broadcasters.
Oh.
And obviously, we lost an all-timer this week in Vin Scully. I said that day, he's one of those guys whose impact on the game is almost impossible to really assess, to put into words, to summarize. What did Vin Scully mean to you, and what do you think he meant to the game?
Well, he probably meant less to me than many, because I didn't hear him do baseball games on the radio very often. I got to hear highlights of it, and I know how wonderful he is, and he simulcast a lot of games, so even when you watch some part of a TV broadcast, it was a radio broadcast, and he was incredibly adept at doing both, which most people probably can't. I don't think I can add anything to all the accolades he's got. He deserves everything. I mean, he for people who are younger, the guy was a game show host, too. I mean, he was so big a personality. He was on network television doing game shows that had nothing to do with sports. And he would host the Masters and everything else. And one thing that, one story I will tell is that he had the call on Bobby Thompson's home run, the shot heard around the world, the Dodger one, because it was the 10th inning, so he's the second announcer, mm-hmm. but he's calling the 10th. It's a far superior call to Russ Hodges' massively overrated goofball fest of, the Giants won the pennant, 42 times or whatever it was, but nobody's ever heard it. But he's just but I guess his biggest impact, if you want to just say biggest impact on the game itself, was the fact that when the Dodgers went to Los Angeles, they played their first couple of years in the L.A. Coliseum.
Right.
And it was a horrible place for baseball, but they drew very big crowds, and many of the seats were incredibly bad, and it basically came at the exact time when the transistor radio came into being, and people started listening to the ball game at the ball game.
At the game, because you couldn't see.
Because he really couldn't see, and then eventually, even though at Dodger Stadium, people said, well, I listen to Vin Scully call the game every night. It's beautiful. Why wouldn't I do it in the 5 or 6 times that I'm going to the ballpark tonight? And I don't know this for a fact, but I would guess that was the genesis for people around all of baseball for a while. It doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, you used to see it a bunch.
No, you see it, people with their headphones on or whatever, listening to Denny or, that was commonplace. You'd see a healthy mm-hmm. portion of the crowd would have their earbuds on or their Walkman or whatever technology was there at the time. So I think that was incredibly impactful. And he had, he called the Hank Aaron home run on Kirk Gibson home run.
One other thing,
just for fun to wrap up is, he also is easily imitated.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a good mimic,
yeah.
And John Miller does a couple of the most amazing things that you've ever heard doing. He does a Vin Scully doing Japanese.
Oh, that's the funniest.
Japanese baseball in Japanese. I mean, it's the funniest thing ever. And so we get that to add to our lexicon. So it's just all the things that everybody says about Vin Scully are warranted, and he apparently was an incredibly nice man to boot, and he had a great career in broadcast till he was old, but didn't like take it all the way to the barn. Like he said, I'm still pretty good. I'm going to stop and enjoy life.
He combined two amazing qualities, which you don't often see. And they usually run against each other. He had an amazing power for constructing words, for putting nouns against verbs. I mean, his descriptions of things were amazing. And yet he was also known, though not enough for my taste, as a guy who would lay out when he needed to.
Oh,
and
he
laid out for 2 minutes after Aaron's home run. He routinely did that. So you don't usually see a guy who is so great at describing things, but also knowing exactly when to shut up.
And he described it as, it was selfish. I love the roar of the crowd.
Yes.
I wanted to hear the roar of the crowd. Now, that's baloney. He knew what he was doing, was being a good broadcaster.
He knew who he was.
But that's the humble nature of him to say, I really did it because I just wanted to hear the crowd roar. So that was cool, too.
Yeah, I said no one has ever done anything as well as Vin Scully called baseball games.
Except for Danny Klingsko being cranky, because he does that well. We're going to turn the soccer game on and really make you mad.
No, don't do that.
We won't do it. Danny Klingsko is unleashed on a Friday. Wrap it up here with Danny Klingsko, unleashed on a Friday.
Brought to you by Easton Roofing.
100%.
Sure to check out the reviews. Go to
I saw
Roofing.
Joe in here cutting a spot the other day. It's good to see him. Good to see him. Okay, Orlando Brown is unleashed. He showed up, Danny. Did you think this would happen?
No, I didn't think it would happen. I think it's a nice surprise, and I think that for this year, we don't know what the future holds. Orlando Brown does seem rather convicted in the long term to get more money than he probably likely will ever be worthy of, but that's okay. But this year's team it will benefit by him being here. He's got something to play for. He's got a chip on his shoulder, which is remarkable in this day and age when you get a chip on your shoulder while you're making $17 million. But
it's the insult of being the franchise player, Danny.
But what's important for the Chiefs right now is what this year's team will roll out there, and they certainly will roll out there better with Orlando Brown. The Chiefs seem to have done a good job over the last couple of years, be it pass rusher or whatever, and maybe this time in Carlos Dunlap, for instance, they seem to, maybe they've gotten the best one of the bunch. He seems to be still a motivated and effective player. I mean, he's never really, I don't think he's had less than 7.5 sacks in any year in his career.
Just ask him, he's got his stats down, so he'll tell you.
So, I think the camp, to me, it could not have gone any better.
It's a great week. They
so
just
far.
Had a wonderful week of camp.
No injuries. Mm-hmm. Every story is about how this guy's looked great and this guy's looked great and how Sky Moore is going to work himself into the now, this was the first week of camp, which is great, but now we're going to get into a thing where you've told all the happy stories. What are you going to do now?
Well, next Saturday they'll be on the field and we'll see someone get burned and, someone will drop a pass.
Someone who's been a camp darling will not be a camp darling.
Although they've made the games, preseason games, each passing.
It's almost hard to be awful.
With each passing year, nobody wants to go back to a day when they played six of them and they actually played the starters the whole game. But still, as of 5 or 6 years ago where, the first one, not many guys played, but then the second one you played more, and the third one was almost a real football game.
For
and
half
then the fourth
at least,
one,
yeah.
And then the fourth one was, or usually they'd say, well, we want to put them out there for the second half. So
adjustments.
They know what the turnaround is
see
like.
See what it's like to go back out there.
Right. At least there was that. Now sometimes guys don't play at all, even if they're healthy.
Oh, there are plenty of quarterbacks who haven't played a snap in the preseason in years.
Right.
That'll be one of our favorite things to ask Coach Reed this week. How's it going to shake out here? Well, we'll just get that to you. We'll see how it's going to go. But he has been someone who still plays. I mean, there's no reason for Patrick Mahomes to play quarterback in the preseason games, but he still takes some snaps and gets some reps and does some stuff. So,
Chiefs fans have every right to just be giddy about what's going on. I mean, the only thing that's not been worthy of being giddy is that if you went up there, it's like the Bataan Death March.
It's hot. And then it rained one day, so you couldn't go.
Right.
So, but the first week, it was pretty nice. But last week, this week we just had, I normally would be up there, but I've been in the cold box here doing Petro's show, so I'm not all that bad about it. We sent Steven up there to sweat. It was great. It was great. It was fun, but it'll be – it's hot, but it's not – we've had more oppressive camps, I think, over the years.
No question, but only oppressive because of the weather, because it's all good news as far as the Chiefs are concerned, and also they – by whatever circumstances we have in the world of sports these days, I think they will feel a little underappreciated, and the Chiefs as a whole, I think, are going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and perhaps Patrick Mahomes himself also. So
might as well. And put the chip on his shoulder. I don't remember the last time these guys were in the Super Bowl. I don't even know.
It's been way too long.
It's been too long, 100%. Danny Klinkscale brought to you by Easton Roofing every week here on the program on Friday. I do miss our drives up to River Falls and stuff, though. We miss those good old times.
You know, it gets further and further away, but I think that though that decade or so up in River, that was fun, hard work.
Danny almost got thrown out by the Secret Service. It was so much fun up there. 100%.
Almost got shot.
Yeah, it happens.
All right, the Orioles hit 7 home runs and lost last night. What is the record for home runs hit in a game by a team? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.